Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Guilds of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here once again with my buddy, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And my other buddy, Mr. Steve Gagné. Wow. Okay, so for those who don't know, Steve is wearing a Chewbacca onesie during the podcast, so apparently he is a Wookiee.
It was just for that.
What a Wookiee. Yeah, well, let's try to keep it to that, because we don't want to deafen anyone, if anyone does, in fact, listen to this. And I personally don't want to have to listen to it. But like I said, I think you look more Jawa than Wookiee. I'm just saying. No comment from Steve. Okay.
I didn't have anything else to add.
Yeah. I expected you to come out with a Yutini.
No, because it's not a Jawa outfit.
Oh.
Got to respect the outfit.
I suppose. But you're not hairy enough to be a Wookiee. You need more facial hair, Steve.
Yeah, well, I just got waxed this weekend at the spa show, so that's why my beard is so clean.
Okay, that's a show.
We're here to talk about Guild Ball, not my facial features, right?
Or anything else that may have got waxed. Yeah, so Guild Ball, Season 4 is upon us. Big changes, lots of cool, interesting stuff has happened. We are going to try to have some structure in the show, so we're going to do a little bit of discussion about SteamCon US that unfortunately neither of us could attend, or any of us could attend, I should say. And then we're going to talk about the new minor guilds
that were announced.
some of the previews. And then we're going to jump into Season 4 with the major rules changes and what our hands-on experience is, because we've been playing Season 4 for a few weeks now.
Yep.
Being media, we had early access to the cards, and I have a long list of complaints that we should go over, mostly pertaining to Steve.
Well, that's why if you see the orders of our experience, I've put you last. so we'll try to have the positive first and then the negative at the end.
Isn't this like, I thought you were wanting to make him go to sleep and just be so tired that he's just going to rush his part.
Oh, maybe.
Aren't you supposed to go say something positive, critique something, and then say something positive again?
Sandwich.
Sandwich theory.
So Paul should be in the middle then.
Okay.
Oh, man. Just what I want to be in the middle of a sandwich between Steve and Antoine.
Well, you would be with Yom in the middle.
Oh, man.
He's not there, but he's in your camp.
That's like a peanut butter and onion sandwich.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I'm tired.
Are you pregnant and you're not telling us?
I just look like I'm pregnant. Okay, so let's get this started. So SteamCon US. Let's call that Sean Dooley's crown jewel. Looks like it went off without a hitch.
Yeah. And
More or less.
From what we saw on the social media, it seemed that it ran smoothly. Alex Bott won the US East qualifier, Nationals.
Shocking surprise.
With Blacksmiths.
Also, shocking surprise.
Yeah.
I didn't actually get to see the lineups. Did he and Jared McGraw play the same lineup? Because I know they played each other
in the second round.
On day one. Day one, second round, I think they played against each other.
No, because Jared was in the finals as well. Oh, so maybe, yeah.
But it's, all that means he's in top eight, right?
Yeah,
right. I was looking at the team one. Sorry, it was in team they played against each other in round two. Sorry, not individuals. My bad. It's interesting though, because both of them were
sporting Anvil, which is supposed to be garbage, and now he's getting buff.
So. Yeah. Well, no, both of them kind of, I think, practice and do a lot of discussion with
Jordan.
Jordan Knack, right?
Yeah, I think
Knocked. So it's quite interesting. Well, I think Jared even mentioned that when we saw him at Nova, right?
Yeah.
He was practicing with, So. Apparently that lineup works.
So he's going.
Yeah, so it was good to see Alex win. I mean, he was predicting a win, and I guess he got his win. So
he's flying to UK in a couple of weeks to try to win a world.
Didn't he win worlds last time too?
Yeah, he won World last year with Farmers.
With the broken Farmers that no one was expecting, right?
That he was playtesting for a couple of months, yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
I'm sure that was totally fine. Just a coincidence.
There was a keynote as well at SteamCon US, like they do at their convention.
I tried to watch it, but it made me motion sick.
Yeah, it was. They didn't have any real camera, so a couple of people were streaming it from their phone.
We got a close up of Dooley's lap for a little bit there. That was
the worst quality I saw was the one from Vincent Kirkov of Ron DeLang, and he put the keynote on his YouTube channel yesterday, and he was sitting in front, and it's not too bad.
Wait, I thought you said that was the worst quality one you saw.
No, it's one of the less worse, if I can
say. One of the best, yeah. I think, is the one of the less. No double negatives. No double negatives, Steve. Bad.
Yeah, okay.
Bad, Steve.
But it's not the best. It's not that good, but, I mean, it's phone quality. It's better than some of
the You don't spend 3 minutes staring at someone's leg?
Yeah.
So it's already better than the one I watched.
Okay.
And they had some cool announcements for their keynote. I guess let's talk about the miners first. So, a couple new miner guilds.
Yeah. The
first one being the miners, as in the people who extract ore from the earth. Or the miner guild for the engineers, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. They showed us the captain and two squatty. One of the squatty is a big brute Mechanica, and he's... like they said in the keynote, they're still from the engineer guild, but they're working underground and working hard, and so they're not maintained as much as the Mechanica and the engineer. So he's a bit patched and everything, but we couldn't really see it on the render because of the quality of the keynote. And also, they showed us the one of the two crossover model, and it's gonna be Colossus. And Colossus has two big drills replacing two of his forwards leg.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't make it that far, I must admit. I stopped watching before they got to that. And then I saw a couple still frames. I didn't see the stills of that, though.
And also they mentioned that the miner are going to be a new player-friendly guild. So if you're looking to get into the game, like they're going to be easier to pick up than other guilds. So, and also they're going to be the guild with the most place thing or
place effects, you mean?
Yeah, place effect. Like the harvest token for the farmers or the traps for the hunter, but they're going to have a step further than that. And they're going to be slowish guild, but probably they're going to have some gimmick with like their placement from mining or like probably something similar to Borrow. And they're going to be a scoring team as well. That's what they said.
But isn't engineers already kind of a scoring team?
Yes.
Yeah, but they can do damage as well because they have the potential. They have access to tooled up and Oise can dish some damage, and now Colossus being reworked can do a lot of damage, and so I think like they're more of a classic 2-2 team, two goals to take out, and they want to be the miners to be like really a three goals guild. But let's see how it goes, because they wanted Rats to be a three goal team, but everybody was doing Snack Digger in season 3, so it was a takeout team.
Well, they ain't doing it anymore though.
Yeah. So. And I'm curious to see how long it takes for the Navigators not to be a scoring team and be a damage team with the rap from Ebb and Fatom that we calculated a couple of times on our chat.
Yeah, but even Wayfinder, is that her name? The captain?
Yeah.
She can also do a fair amount of damage, I think, if she tries. So.
Yeah. With a free charge and single down. And
yep.
And the knockdown. Yeah. And she has momentous damage as well.
Yeah, oddly enough. Take away the fish's mantis damage and leave it on the navigator. It seems very strange.
Exactly.
And then also we got a different minor guild.
Yeah, the Entertainer Guild. It's going to be the minor guild for the brewers and was just vaguely mentioned.
You know, I thought it was going to be like the Dairy Guild, so we could have some cheese to go with the wine.
Well, it's more mostly beer, you know, so beer and cheese.
Oh, come on, Antoine.
What?
Nothing. You just chuckle and don't say anything.
Well,
I tried hard with that one. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I left. But Steve went on, so...
Yeah, so Entertainer Guild. And we saw one preview model of that, right?
Yeah, I'm not too sure, like the Kid Blackheart or something like that.
Yeah, Kid Blackheart. So, it's essentially a little kid dressed up like Blackheart.
Yeah.
Though people hated it. Hated it. It was crazy, the negative feedback I saw on that.
Yeah, I know.
Some people didn't seem to understand that it was actually an actor portraying Blackheart. They seemed to think it was some sort of like...
Rookie
aged Blackheart or rookie Blackheart. Like, no,
but it was not.
It's an actor dressed up as...
Yeah. Anyway, but that's what happened when you just see the image out of context instead of hearing like the quote unquote backstory on the keynote. So
the Fox News version, yeah. and then we got I'm just full of it tonight. We got another preview aside from that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much to say on the Entertainers Guild. So
nope.
We saw that one model. I don't think they really said much about it.
No, they didn't see. They didn't say anything because
they're farther out. So it's
exactly
kind of nebulous. Aside from that, we saw a Union model.
Yeah.
So Union is going to get a model. It is a Veteran Greed riding Strongbox. I guess technically they're the only two guys remaining for the Union, right?
Exactly. So he kind of they mentioned he wants because last time he depart in the fluff he depart from Avarice. And now kind of set on a crusade to rebuild the Union.
Yeah, so I guess he's going to be a captain model?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. Like, I never liked Avarice and Greed that much to begin with, in terms of like how kooky they looked and like how ridiculous it was.
And now the little guy riding the turtle with a lance? I mean... But
yeah, exactly. Like,
it's right up your alley, right, Paul?
Yeah, I love the... the super, like, cartoony nature of that. it thrills me to the bone.
I know. We can sense it in your tone.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is, right? It's because I'm a far-left liberal, and they're not taking into consideration of the small people. You know, small people have been maligned for centuries, and we're just propagating that stereotype with the game. No, I'm just kidding. But that is something a far left person would say.
Yeah, I know. But honestly, just a sidetrack, like I found in the art and in the players, Gilbarl is one of the game that has the most diversity in his character models.
Yeah, actually, that's very true.
And like
a lot of different ethnicities, a lot of different. No, so
and there's true. Male and female in every guild. There's different origin and.
We almost had a gender fluid character.
Almost.
Until they changed their mind. Yeah,
for
they said he.
Well, he was gender neutral for what 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, something like that, and then, oh no, that may break the game. Never mind.
Exactly.
That's so funny.
But they do an effort more like than other game I've seen. Like it's all Caucasian model, and so unless it's like historical or with tribes,
it's not true. 40K has a whole Space Marine chapter of black people. They did their part. It's all good,
right?
Mind you, they're black like pitch, as opposed to black like you know African Americans.
Yeah,
the thought was there. Yeah, no, it's true. It's absolutely true. There's they go to great lengths, I think, to make a diverse game.
Yeah.
Which is cool. At first, I thought you were talking about their art style, how diverse the art style is. No. Because if you look at Steamforge's art style, it is all over the place depending on the year.
Yeah, depending on the artist and how it evolves, because they don't have any in-house artists. I think it's all freelance. Yeah. So from season to season, they can afford better artwork, I guess. So it's evolving.
Because season one was very stylized.
Yeah, sketching.
And ugly. It's definitely gotten better from there. I would like to see the artwork redone for season one and two.
Yeah.
Just so it's all... Because the current artwork is quite nice. Yeah, I'm assuming now they freelance to the same guy. Like, they contract the same guy probably to do it. Because for a while, it's been consistent and good.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's so many players now, like, to redone and everything. So, it's kind of a rough task, I guess.
Yeah, but you could do... Would it really... How much would it cost them to do a player a month or two players a month, really? But anyway, we're way off topic here, but
would be done for season six.
They just have to run another Kickstarter they're not going to ship, and then they'll have plenty of money to redo the artwork. season four. I guess I'm kind of the negative Nancy on the show, aren't I? I wasn't supposed to be. How'd that happen?
I don't know. You play against me too much, I guess, and then you.
Jeez. Yeah, season four. So, some core rules changed.
Yeah.
Minor tweaks, really.
Well, we talked about it a couple of times on the previous show, but now we finally got a chance to test those changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest one is the kicking team getting the momentum now. I mean...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that without question, I think that's
it makes you really...
influential change.
It really makes you think whether you want to kick or receive when you it's not automatic. Like, I win the dice roll, I'll receive for sure. Now I win the roll, I might want to kick. I think I kick almost half the time. So
yeah, I think I still lean towards receiving, but definitely it's tempting just to take that for the.
It makes...
So you can try to do a quick turnover.
Yeah.
And then you've got the momentum to score, right?
Exactly. Or that's you can be more aggressive. So, like, you can push your a player, the kicking player, the kicker can be pushed a bit forward. And because if you get attack or anything, you get the momentum to do a counter attack and try to tackle the ball or something like that, or at least do something and not just stand there and be, punch me. So that's a big difference.
That's a huge change. It's going to take people a while to get used to, I think. Well, the first few games, anyway.
Yeah. And the tap-in pass is good.
Once they lose their captain and he goes into a casket for two turns, they'll understand that this was maybe not a great idea.
Share the pain.
Yeah. Oh, I'll share the pain, Steve. But yeah, I think that's definitely the biggest change.
Tap-in was fun as well, but I didn't feel it make that well. It makes a difference when you receive, because like for passing the ball around, I mean, you can do it with two dice and it's safer than before. So
yeah, I have to say the tap in passes were nice too. Like, I had a couple of games, right, a couple passes I should say, in the last game I played against Rat Catchers with my union, where like I would have failed those passes if it hadn't been for tap in. And that would have like been the death of me, because I was down 8-0, like top of turn two or bottom of turn one. So losing one of those passes and having the ball scatter to Bonesaw or something would have been the end of me.
So that's pretty much for the changes, because the obstacle one, we didn't really use it most of the time.
Oh, the standing on obstacles?
Yeah, because most of our obstacles were not flat for models to stand on, so it didn't change anything, because we don't play with 2D terrains as well, so it was mostly for that classification, I feel.
That's true. Now there's absolutely no reason to play with 3D terrain, 2D terrain, I should say.
There's another change that made a difference in the game against Antoine. It was the condition damage is now applied in the end phase.
Yeah.
As before, in the maintenance phase. So, like, in Antoine's case, what it meant is because he didn't have enough damage to kill a casket. So he was down like to 4 health or something like that. And he had poison and bleed. So in the end phase, it proc the poison and bleed, killed him. It proc the reanimate. So then after that, in the beginning of the next turn, he had reanimate again without the condition. So it made a difference because now he had to do another 6 damage to kill him with Tough Fight. So.
Oh, he goes up to 6 health with the reanimate?
Well, it's
go to 3. But yeah, it's Tough Fight, and you need to kill him twice because.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
You need to do.
Because now reanimate is still 4. Active. Yeah.
Twice. So you need to do 8 points of damage when he was down to his last 3 in theory. So.
That's true. Yeah, Casket definitely got better.
So it makes a small difference. It's going to make a difference as well for when you play against Engineer who has a. Who have like. What, 4 reanimate model potentially? Pinvice, Oist, Locus, and Velocity all have reanimate, so it's going to make a difference. You have to be careful against those teams.
Jeez, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. That's a very good point.
That's the other change from Season 4 that we noticed made a difference. Since we're talking about our games, Antoine, do you want to talk about a bit? Since you're playing the Butchers mainly, do you want to talk about the changes you've noticed from the couple of games we played with them?
Yeah, for sure. I've played 4 games, I think, up to now. I all played the basic box, so Ox, Princess, Boiler, Shank, Brisket, and Boar. So not much diversity there, but I'm used to them. So it was a good coming back to the new rules. Ox change is probably the biggest, but the change itself is not that big. The aura is now bigger. The owner is 6 inches, and his armor going up also helped. I think he lost 2 life points, but got an armor point. And in the games I've played, that made a difference. It was harder to kill because of that.
Well, it makes the biggest difference is again against stack 5 models. Like the difference between a 3-1 a 3-1 and a 3-2 is huge.
Yeah. So it made him safer, even for parting blows and stuff like that. So that was a good change. What else?
Well, the difference between 4 inches and 6 inches is huge.
Yeah, that's what I said first, and that's really the big point there.
Yeah,
it let me spread out my players more. I didn't have to be just of a small scrum in the middle. I could move my player out a lot more. Often I had to place outside of the 4, and I wouldn't have had the bonus, and now I could. Most of the time, Ox is safer because it doesn't have to be as far forward. And also lets my player use cover more.
Yeah.
Because they can spread out more also. And the charge lanes are less clogged. So it really was a big difference.
Shank is banked to 4 influence. That was huge.
Yeah. It didn't matter as much. But that's always matchup dependent. Like,
yeah.
That didn't come into play. I've put 4 on him in the past games, but that was never a game changer. That extra points could have gone to a Boiler or a Brisket probably and would have had a similar impact. Border Axe makes a big difference. It makes, when you combine that with Brisket's, the dirty knife. It makes for a first turn where even if you don't contact the enemy, there's already a potential 10 points of damage on a player if he's forward. So that's a big difference because he's already, so 2 turns of that and you can kill a player.
Yeah, because you're applying condition as well, because Boilers still do bleed and dirty knives is poisonous, so
yep,
that's a 5 damage bonus if you don't clear the conditions.
That's really good. Mark target being 10 had an impact too. More in having the opportunity to place it and not always using it, but at least it was there.
Yeah, it makes you think more.
Yeah.
Yeah, the deterrent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boar is still slow as well, because I've noticed, like, there was a couple of games, like, even with Boar? Mark. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Boar, I play him backward. Not backward, but I play him back. He's really a support for me.
Second
there
wave.
To make you fear getting that into charge. The scrum. Like, sure, I can put some of my flare forward, but if you do, Boar is there to kill that player.
And the thing is, he does that for zero influence, right?
Yeah.
Because he charges for free?
He's furious. Yeah.
Most of the time, I place one on him, just in case he gets engaged, so at least he can do a couple attacks. Because if I put zero and furious, and if he's engaged, that's it. He doesn't do anything. So
yeah.
And only placing one is still effective on Boar, because one influence transform most of the time in two momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, hard to go wrong on that.
So that's fine. And it's good damage. It's not crazy damage if he doesn't charge, but that's still...
Well,
if he's in Ox Aura, that's probably at least a 6 damage that goes on the player. So for one in front, that's good. Brisket, I tried to set up goals with her, but in my two first games, she closed the game, so above and beyond didn't matter. But in my last game, the one with against Yom, against his brewer, I was able to finish my first turn with a goal with her. And going to 14 influence on the second turn was a big swing.
Yeah, that just sounds ridiculous. No offense.
No, it's not too bad.
Sure.
Well, I can start with 14 influence almost with Obdus, so.
Yeah, well,
yeah, but
I'm lucky if I start with 12.
4 or something like that.
Yeah.
All my influence do something. I don't... In theory, I might have to pay 2 for something, but everything is always 1. It's always attacks or move or pass, so that made a big difference.
Yeah, you could buy Butchery with Oxford, too, if you didn't want to proc it off the playbook.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, overall, they're better. Just the base 6 are better. And Princess was fun. Just getting in the way
Princess
of
Princess is stupid. Her parting blow damage is insane, Antoine.
Yeah, she works the same, but she did at least 6 or 7 damage on parting blows during the games I've done. It happened maybe twice. The other time the player was able to dodge away or stuff like that. But still, it's a really big deterrent. And in
well, yeah,
because
she's tax 6 and she's doing momentous 3 on column 2.
Well, she's tax 4
on parting
blows.
But
she gets
on parting
plus blows. 4 on her parting blows. So she goes up to 8 dice.
So it's easy to wrap.
How does she get plus 4?
Vicious gives her plus 2 tack.
To tack and
plus
1
damage on parting blows. And usually she's near Ox.
Oh, Ox for her. Yeah.
So she's at +2 damage. So that's good. That's really good. And she, once in a while, she wraps because there, or even if she does not, the player has to think, okay, is that 6 damage or 4 to 6 damage worse than staying there and having and Boiler
come and have fun?
Or attack her and try to get away or kill her, but then.
But
the
you
rest
have love creature.
Better, so. I already played her like that. She had always been a sacrificial model for me.
Yeah.
But now it's even better. Because going away is not as insignificant as it was before.
Yeah, the safest thing I found to do is just knock it down.
Yeah. And she still has the vicious animal. So, not vicious, but
rabbit
animal.
Oh, okay.
Rabbit animal.
Yeah. Okay, so, for your -4. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, she procs that on 3, right?
Mm-hmm. She can't proc it on a parting blow, but with the scrums usually in the butchers, there's other players, so Sometimes the other player doesn't have the option of going away. You leave this one on her, move up, attack, trigger it, and
okay, it poisons as well.
You're
right?
Stuck there. Yeah. So overall, I'm happy with the change. I'm painting more of my guys. Like, I've had only those base six painted for a long time. Now I have Midok and Truffles done. I'm working on Thunderizer, so hopefully I'll be able to try out the rest of the guild soon.
And you'll be ready for January when you can get your hands on Roast?
Yeah, I'm looking forward more to the Navigator's Box than having more Butchers, because I already have 7 Butchers I have not really played before. So Roast is just another one of my killing team.
Mm-hmm.
Another option. So
just it's just more damage.
Yeah. Wild Navigators are a big change in playstyle.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking for a lot more to them than having more options for my Butchers that I already don't play.
Mm-hmm.
So, but overall, a really, really good thing for the Butchers. The only 2 models I think, they're not a downgrade, but like Midok is a bit less useful. Truffles, just because Boiler and Princess are so good now.
So good?
Yeah.
That she's less interesting. But, they are the first 2 I painted. So, first 2 new models I painted, and they are pretty the less interesting of the new.
Well, Midok is still good, right? Midok still has tooled up.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
she got tooled up.
The problem with Midok is before when she damaged, it was hooked and bleed, and Hook was a character play, and now she snares and bleed, so you can remove the -1 defense she brings.
Yeah,
with momentum, as before you could remove it.
The extra damage.
Yeah,
when she attacks bleeding model, which was a good thing. So overall, I don't really see myself playing her with Ox. So it's going to be for Philip, and Philip isn't painted yet. So I need to paint more models before I can finally try her.
Story of your life.
Yeah. But at least they're going better and faster than before. So it shouldn't take another 3 years to get my full guild.
Yeah, I really found your guild makes me, playing Union, ask a lot of questions. Like, you gotta be so, I'm so scared of everyone, because while I can do okay damage to you, I can't get into a scrum, and I stupidly played Vet Rage, not really knowing what I was getting into, and that was like suicide. But yeah, I think the Butchers are gonna be deadly.
Yeah,
yeah, they're
way around it.
And they do so much damage. Like, Boiler, I think I was able to set him up only once in the game against Yom. But even facing a tough-eyed player, I was doing 10 points of damage per attack.
Ouch.
How the heck?
Well,
because of assist and stuff?
Assist, owner, get them lads, and wrapping.
Wow.
And his new 4 on his last column. Yeah. So he was doing 7 and 5, I think. Which came down to 6 and 4 with Tough-Eyed, so I did 10 on a single attack.
Ouch.
It's just not right, Antoine.
Yeah, that turn, every activation was killing or finishing and killing another player. I had a influence left on models because they couldn't reach target to kill.
At what point did Guillaume flip the table?
Oh, he didn't. It was a good game.
Okay.
I finished with he was able to kill Shank. Shank is always the guy that died.
Yeah.
And he went for a goal run with Friday.
Okay.
And I had one influence left on Brisket just to be able to go somewhere and maybe do an attack or just be in the way. But my goal kick fell right on top of her. So she just had to walk up and kick and finish the game with a goal.
It was like you planned it.
It wasn't the case. Okay. But that instantly finished the game right there.
Yeah, but no one knows you didn't plan it. So
yeah,
you can take credit.
All so, part of the plan.
I'm happy with them. I'm happy with my base team because even the just the six player I play usually, they're all better.
Yeah.
So, okay, maybe I was not playing the top lineup for Butchers before, but they were already working for me. And now they're better.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
Hard, I just hard need to go wrong get better with better. On, I just need to do better with time.
It's all the dice rolling, right?
Yeah.
You're rolling so many
three
dice.
Three of my games went to clock out. I was able to win all three, but still, there's a
But
stress.
You were giving up VPs on activations, right?
Yeah.
Well, our games were you won last activation.
Yeah, the two games we played together, Steve, yeah. I won on last activation. The yeah. other before, too. Yeah, both time it was, it finished 11-12.
Yeah, it's just a matter of learning the cards, I guess.
Yeah, but there's just so many roles to do because it's all separate attacks with Butchers. You don't do big character plays or goal run that go fast. It's
well, most of the time when I try goal runs, I find they take more times than just rolling dice for killing because. When you just roll a dice for killing, most of the time you can expect the result you're going to get. So, like, you know, like, okay, I'm going to do, like, every time I'm going to roll, odds are I'm going to do Momentous 2 or Momentous 3, depending on the player and the playbook. So that way, like, you roll the dice, you look, and unless you really spike, but normally, like, you get the average and you say, well, okay, did I get my column? Yes, I did. So Momentous 2 or whatever.
Yeah, the Butcher's playbook are more complicated. I think there's more options.
Yeah.
And I, like you said, I don't know them exactly well still. So, but they didn't say that much, but it was enough change to have to check every time.
Yeah, change your pace and your reflexes.
Yeah.
Just need to study them on the bathroom.
No.
Well, isn't that what everyone does? Is just open up
GB Keeper.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's where I do my best theory crafting.
Yeah, I don't really do theory crafting. We've talked about that in the past. So
yeah, not your forte.
No, so that's probably why I'm doing that with time. But that's it for me. So do we do the sandwich or not?
Sandwich or not?
Oh, sure, we can do the sandwich.
Okay, so Paul, you're up next.
That way you won't fall asleep.
Oh, and just before you go, the influence for the kicker, the that's momentum. Really good. Yeah, the momentum for the kicker. That also was good for the Butchers. I wasn't able to capitalize on it and do a goal, but that leaves either the counterattack or the defensive stance when you have a player up in front. As a bait, and it makes him be more reliable and survive. So that's been good. All the games that it did happen and I kicked, it was a big positive. Like the tap in didn't really matter, but that was good. So that's it.
Yeah,
I'm done for real this time.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Nothing else you want to add?
Okay. Nope.
Yeah, so I've played a number of games.
Happy thoughts. Mostly,
no, I've got a lot of positive things to say. I actually find that Season 4 to be very good. I think the games feel a little bit faster, a little bit more dynamic. You know, looking at my players, I don't find much has changed. Well, Union didn't change a lot. There were a couple players that changed that I think are going to be quite good. First and foremost being original Fangtooth. I think he now makes people like he's on the field. You've got a plan for him because not only is he going to hinder your team's movement with his aura, but that knockdown on one is a real issue for a lot of people. You can't just run away from him. You know, you can spend momentum to glide away.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it's on one, and he's got five tack. So chances are you're going to get knocked down, unless you can dodge out.
And he still has Glutimus Mass. Resilience.
That's right.
Well,
that's right. And he still has a lot of his things that made him great, like the unmasking.
Yeah. And Unleash is better.
Unleash is so much better because it does 4 damages to him.
And doesn't kill you. Kill your other players. Well, not kill, but...
Did you used to do 5 damage to everyone else within 4 inches or something crazy?
Yeah.
It was insane. Now it just does 4 damage to him, and of course, he just uses a momentum during his activation to heal himself back up that 4 damage. His health went down, like a lot of models did, but that just makes sense. His defensive stats got better. He's now a 3-1. Like, honestly, I think he's just better all around, and he's a lot of fun to play with. I really like him.
Because you can yell, unleash, when you do the
yes,
heroic.
Yes, I admit I do like saying unleashed when it happens. pardon me. Next big change, Coin getting a 2-inch melee. That's really cool, because now he has more effect on the pitch. He's not just a one-influence battery with bag of coffers anymore.
Well,
an extra crowd out.
He used to be 2-inch before, right, Antoine?
Yeah.
In season one or
when
season
I played
one.
It in season one, he was 2 inches.
Yeah. And then, he was far too good, so they nerfed him. But now he's back to being far too good. I don't think he's far too good. I think it's just a nice compliment. It's a great extra crowd out. 2-inch melees are never a bad thing.
Yeah.
Especially, he has follow-up, if I remember.
No. Well, he has the weird one, when opposing players leave.
Yeah, follow-up.
Oh, yeah, follow-up, sir. What's the one? Tag-along is
the other one.
Yeah,
he's got follow-up.
With a 2-inch melee, it's better. There's more chance that they are stuck with you, so...
Yep, so you keep applying that negative penalty.
Yep.
In fact, I forgot to use that when I played against Steve. Not that would have changed anything, but... Because he had Scalpel run away from me at one point. And take the parting blow. I just let it happen. Unfortunately, there were a couple of models that didn't get the buffs I was hoping they were going to get. Avarice and Greed. I thought for sure they were going to do something cool with them. And that didn't really happen. They actually lost a couple things. Avarice did get a bit faster. But I just don't know why you'd take him. Maybe there's something I'm not seeing. But I just don't see how he fits. If you want to take a big guy, there's better options. Fangtooth. Harry is kind of a big guy. Benediction.
And Benny is 2-inch melee.
Yep. And an arc node.
Yeah.
Or whatever the equivalent is in this game. I can't remember what it's called. What is it called?
Impart
wisdom. Yeah. So that's quite good. Harry, I like the change to Harry too. I think losing Goad kind of sucks, but single doubt's always a good ability to have, so I don't really have a lot of complaints there. I don't think that he changed all aside from that.
No, but yeah, I think that in the games you've played, you've used him, you have under-allocate influence to him, so he was less relevant than I would have expected, maybe.
Well, I think when I was playing against you, because I was stuck...
Yeah.
With heavy burden on him and inside Casket's rough ground aura, considering he runs 7, I'd have to spend momentum to glide and then spend influence to run 3. I'm not sure how efficient that becomes at that point. So like I said, I was a little down about Avarice and Greed and Snakeskin. I tried using Snakeskin a couple times. She's definitely better. I just don't know. Like, if I had a choice between taking Snakeskin or taking Hemlock, that's a really tough, it's a really tough sell to take Snakeskin. Because Hemlock's got the tackle on 1, the same kind of defensive stats, except Snakeskin is a 4-0, 5-0 against males, whereas Hemlock's 5-0 all the time.
But Hemlock Snakeskin has beautiful. She has,
yeah, that's true. That is true.
So it helps against stuff that can take the ball from afar, like not Puppet Master.
Like Ygritte's thing, right? Or the... isn't Ygritte that has an arrow she can...
No, it doesn't work against
Mataggy has a range tackle, doesn't he, or something?
No, range attack, it doesn't affect it because it's against character play. It's not against attack. Because far shot is an attack. You are considered as if attacking, even though you're 6 inches away. So it wouldn't be influenced.
I thought it was a character play. I didn't look at the cards.
So no, but it's more for seduce or lure or pin.
Goal,
or
I guess.
Yeah, or shot from Tehran or stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't say she was bad, but I think the Hemlock's aura to...
Yeah. But
clear conditions is much more toolboxy.
And
I don't know.
Union still has lots of depth, so you have good players. You can choose to build a 12. So I feel Snakeskin might see a place in the major guild that can still take Union. Like, she could be a good
option there.
With those guild, I think.
Yeah, because I look at the 12, and I mean, she'll probably make it into my 12. Maybe. Oh, wait. Union has a lot of models.
Yeah. So maybe not.
yeah. Because I'm like, well, Grace probably won't make it to... Because Grace got worse, too, for some reason. I don't have anything to say on that. She just... I don't know what...
I don't get it.
I just... They took away her thing that made her. The AoE removal.
Yeah.
You know, she generates her own influence, so she's great. She, one for the team, two for herself. Her healing got a little bit better. It heals 3 now instead of 2.
But is it enough?
That's... She's still got a 2-8 kick, so she's not really a great ball player. 8 inches, but only 2 dice. I don't know.
Well, it's 8 inches.
Good.
It's good, because...
And she's 6'8", so she's fairly fast.
Yeah, she can do gold run, but not stay there and attempt to do snapshot.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that she's going to have a hard time. She's in the same boat the Snakeskin is.
Yeah.
And Avarice and Greed. Like, Mist, Harry, Benediction. Rage, I think, is going to make it out. Rage had a great change. No longer has Maverick, so that's awesome.
That's huge.
Because now he is a murder machine. He's a glass cannon, but man, can he hurt people.
Yeah.
If he gets that charge off. Hemlock's definitely going to make it into every 12.
Well, it's because he can benefit from Butchery now.
Yeah, Butchery and Singled Out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? This is so good. Hemlock's going to make it into every 12. Gutter's going to make it into every 12. Fangtooth, I think, is going to make it into every 12. Decimate will definitely make it into every 12.
Both captain.
Both captain. And then, so you could take one mascot. I guess you could take Coin. And leave Strongbox at home if you wanted to, and that gives you one slot that's wiggle room.
Yeah.
But I'd argue that taking both mascots is the smarter move. So, like, I don't think models will ever see play. And it's unfortunate. Because Grace is a gorgeous model.
Yeah.
Snakeskin, I think, painted up actually looks a lot better than I thought. I never thought she'd look that nice until I painted her. And then I think she looks pretty good.
Are you talking about the real model or the gray from the Halloween pack from last year? I'm just kidding.
I got that one too. I wonder if I could play a team of all like Blackheart, Rage with the Dead Snake, the Dead Snake skin. That's 4 out of 6. That's pretty close to all
limited edition.
Or all dead people or all related to that whole storyline of dead people. On the whole though, I think Union is relatively unchanged in terms of playstyle. In terms of power level, from the experience I've had, I'd say they're still somewhere between middle and top tier.
They're upper middle, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because they didn't get toned down and lots of everyone else got buffed up.
Yeah, so
but I still
think their position slid, but they didn't really... They did not move. Everyone else moved past them.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And I think the models they got access to, they lost access to Veteran Fangtooth, which I think is a big deal.
Well, we knew it was coming. I mean,
absolutely. But it's still a big deal, right? He's still a great model. His damage getting moved around kind of hurt him, I think. It hurt his Union stock. But still, I think that he's a 2-inch melee. He's got some good damage potential still.
Yeah.
He's got ground pound. Like, it's a nice piece. Now, in terms of play, well, I don't know. I there's some things I find that were kind of bothered me about Season 4. I've been playing... I've played a few different games. I've played a lot against you, Steve. At least two games, probably. Well, not a lot, but I've played some games with you, two or three.
I think we played three games, at least.
Yeah. If not more.
Yeah.
I found... Well, looking at Cat, let's look at Casket. I think it's great that when he does Casket time, I still get influence the following turn.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised Casket time remains, because... You know, they're always talking about negative play experience. Oh, I don't want negative play experience. Get rid of negative play experience. But you casket time someone and they're out of the game for two turns, essentially, depending on when you do it in the turn. Even just if they're out for one turn, then if you do it at the end of one turn and then they're gone for the whole next turn, that's still a big deal. I think that's hard to spin that as anything but a negative experience. And I think the fact that he can compound... heavy burden with his rough ground aura for that minus six. That's also kind of not fun.
I totally agree there.
So that I found was kind of rough. Scalpel. I think Scalpel's busted as all hell. You know, the voodoo strings that, yeah, it's only once per turn on you, on that one model. But it's a, I hit you, I move you 2 inches. And then, I hit you, I move me 2 inches. I hit you, I move my buddy over there 2 inches. Oh, I spirit bomb you, I move you 2 more inches. Oh, next thing I know, I'm standing in between all your guys, and you guys just kill me. Yeah, yay, that was fun. I mean, that'll get better with time playing against her, because you'll start calculating, okay, I have to be safe distance plus 6 inches from anything if I want to make sure I'm safe. I thought that was kind of like a little wonky. I don't think it's necessarily unfair or unbalanced. I don't like... It bothers me when you can move other people's models so significantly. I mean, you can always push in Guild Ball, right?
Yeah.
But she's pushing and dodging and doing this all at the same time during the same attack. And it's not an insignificant amount. And she has 6 influence, so she gets to do it 6 times. You know, Benediction can push you too. But chances are he's going to do it once or twice in a turn, and then you're going to be out of his reach and he stops, because that's all he does. He doesn't get to push you and dodge himself, or... I don't know. I found that a little bit on the what's going on side. I'm going to blame the fact that Jimmy Perkins plays Mortations. aside from that, though, I think, you know, the team is well-balanced that I've seen. I haven't seen anything grossly like that made me want to, you know, vomit in my mouth. Antoine's damage output was a little insane, but I don't think it's that bonkers, at least with the lineup I saw him play. I think I just have to play smarter against him.
You need to unlock Black Garden, I feel.
Yeah, I just don't know what I'm unlocking there.
You're still having a hard time figuring out how to work him out. Because I've played a couple of games against Blackheart, and I've struggled a lot against him, more than I do against you.
Oh, for sure. That's not hard to believe. I don't play him very well. I'm just not quite sure what his game plan is.
Mm.
You know, he pokes you, and he dodges all over the place, and I generate a bunch of momentum. And, like, it doesn't seem to do much. He is a 2-inch reach. He's got a lot of good plays. I just... You know, I always seem to get him killed, and then it's a slow boat to China to get him back on the
field. Yeah,
the
trying field, to get back. Once you kill him, though, it's hard to make him relevant afterwards because he's really slow.
Well, because he moves 4 inches to get back on the field.
Yeah.
So that's brutal. That 4-inch base move is tough.
Because after that, it's not too bad because he's 2-inch shadow-like plus 6-inch from a...
Sprint, yeah.
A sprint with 2-inch melee, so, like, still...
Yeah, that... But that first turn when he comes back and he...
That's first that jog is painful.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to stuck on the +2/+2 movement card.
Yeah. I think overall we're going to have a good time with Season 4. And I like the fact that the teams get shuffled a bit. Because that encourages people to come back to the game and try models teams they had that were maybe lower tier. And it encourages people to buy new teams, which I'm sure had nothing to do with, you know, why it was done. I'm sure that's just a happy coincidence. Wink, wink. As I look over at my blacksmith sitting in the box on the floor.
It's just that's just because you're a power gamer, Paul.
Well, actually, I'd ordered them like
before, a month and a half ago. Before we knew the change. It was just
mostly because I decided I wanted to play Anvil to paint them.
And because you wanted to try a color scheme on them and
It was
the armor effect.
Yeah, it was cheap and easy. So just the way I like it. So that's pretty much it. I'm all on board for season 4. Steve, see, that wasn't negative. Yeah. I did okay.
Well, that's not too bad.
No. But I had some negative play experiences with you.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Now I have to pick up on that and to sell the morticians to people.
No, I think the morticians are a great team. I just found some of the interactions were odd.
Yeah.
And that's only based off the fact that Perkins went on and on almost every podcast talking about, you know, I want to promote more interaction, less standoffish play, the play experience, all about the play experience. You know, if he hadn't taken Gut and String and reduced it to -2/-2 on the grounds that it was a too negative a play experience, then I would just let it all slide. But leaving things like Heavy Burden in at -4, there's another -4 movement penalty, is there?
Shark's Legendary.
Rabbit Animal.
Rabbit Animal, yeah. But Legendary is a once per game thing, Steve. It's not an every turn screw you thing. Right?
But the funny thing is Casket didn't change since season 1. Actually, the only thing it changed is the legendary. The wording on the legendary changed from season 1 to season 2. But since then, he's been the same. He didn't change his playbook.
Right, but no one played Morticians, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? And
I didn't play them
when they
bit.
Did when they did play him play Morticians, they didn't really play Casket. I don't think he was.
I did play him in the last year of TempleCon, and I did.
You played him, but I don't think the worldwide meta was playing Casket. I know, right?
But the -4 plus the rough ground and everything, I made a fillet player lose 8 minutes on his clock because I managed to pull a heavy burden on fillet. And then he was trying to figure out how to reach my line because of that -4 movement plus the rough ground around him.
Well, Philly is a 5-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hitting on one die, bonus time, 2 days, time. It's still pretty lucky.
Yeah. Let's go.
But then, yeah, that was also because Butcher players at the time, it was Filet or nothing, right? Filet did everything for the team. The rest of the team was just there as a battery for Filet.
Yeah, and they could put Swift Dance with the boiler and everything.
Yeah.
But I've been playing Casket for always when I was playing the Mortician most of the time. But now I can play, it was always the choice of, okay, do I play Casket or I play Ghast? Because both players were 1-3 influence, but bringing one influence on your roster. But now Ghast is up to 2 influence that he brings. So Ghast.
I wonder why he only brought one. I guess they figured because of fear and stuff.
Yeah, he was a big guy on the 40 mils, and at that time it was kind of
that's a penalty. Being on a bigger base is a negative to your model, not a positive.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of the big guy had that penalty before.
Yeah, in season 1, lots of the big guy, big base got only one influence. So.
And he's got Rising Anger on top of it.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, he's pretty good, but he's easy to kill because it doesn't have Tough Fire, then he's 3-1, so... He has a lot of boxes, 21, but once you start pounding him after you paid the fear tax, I mean,
he dies quick.
He's easy to kill. But M-Lock got a bit of change. Well, veteran M-Lock lost blind for everybody, lost 2 inches. It's rough. Well, I totally understand why. I'm not complaining.
Don't you only lost half an inch?
No, it's 2 inches.
No, blind is a single target. It's not an AoE.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's a pure 2 inches. It makes a huge difference. I mean, because from 8 inches, you were able to target a model from 8 inches away. He was losing 2 inches of move. So most of the time he was not able to reach you and you're just, like making the, and he didn't do much afterwards. So now at least most of the time they can still reach you by charging or sprinting. So, but she did gain smelling salt. I never use it because I keep forgetting she has it. Or most of the
time. So good.
Well, it's,
but it's 2 influence.
It's 2 influence. Well, it's 2 influence or 1 influence plus a couple of cuts. And she still gets her dark doubts when she can damage herself. But,
Soulseer, isn't it?
Yeah, Soulseer, sorry.
Dark doubts is the when you take players out.
Yeah. So, I always forget to use it as, actually, because I'm not used to ever. With that, Obelisk is still the same. Fetgrave is so good now. There's a actual real, decision to make between the regular graves, which didn't change, and vet graves now because he's still 3-2 with close control now and 2-inch melee. So a 3-2 models with close control in cover, it's hard to, take the ball with a tackle on your playbook. Because his counter attack is so good. He has a knockdown on 2. Plus, he can do a gill ball play, which is either... what's the -1 armor, Antoine? The same weak as point. Ox. Weak point or...
Oh, the and tough.
Day and tough.
Day and tough, yeah.
Yeah.
It's -1 arm.
Day and tough. Or a new play calls exhaustion, which means that within 4 inches of him, you pay 1 more momentum to do counterattack. It's really good. So he's more of a defensive piece, and regular grade is still more on the offensive side with tooled up and Isbleed as well. And he still has side.
This is going to bug me. What does weak point do? It's on Mason player, I think.
It's on Fish, too. I believe Sakana has it, if I'm not mistaken. Weak point is target enemy model suffers 1 arm. -1 arm.
So it's probably the distance. That's his melee only?
Yeah.
Okay, and the end tough is 4 inches, I think. Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably the difference. Okay.
And weak point, at least in Sakana's case, is only procced off playbook. I don't know if anyone else can buy it.
The end tough is either 1 or playbook, and it's 6 inches.
6 inches. Okay, that's why. Yeah. So it's a range weak point.
Yeah. The rat pile is even better because,
Voss Swarm is.
He lost a couple of pushes on the playbook, but he gained, Furious, so you don't have to allocate influence on him to be able to charge. Before he was, Vindicative Human. And also now he has something called, Scatter with a influence point. It's pretty good because it's a huge movement because since it's, you place it within 1 inch of his current location, and it's a 40 mil base.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good movement. So and most of the time, if you use that, it's going to be to disengage and then free charge. And he has good interaction with Vet Graves because Vet Graves is heroic now, can give him 2 influence.
2 influence. Yeah.
So you basically don't need to allocate influence on him, and he's really relevant with Vet Graves. Dirge has changed a bit as well. I've tried it once with Antoine, but he didn't do much because I was trying the way above a normal average dice needed to pull something off. But at least I tried it.
Well, Momentus singled out on 1.
Yeah, with 3 attack is not too bad. Unless you're attacking a 5-1 model on cover. A 4-1 model in cover. Doesn't work well.
Well, then you could maybe still do it. You've got a...
I know, 50% chance. Either you do it or don't.
Yeah.
I tried it and it didn't work out, but...
But you tried.
Yeah, I tried. One thing I want...
That was a boring standoff.
Yeah. Well, we can explain it for the listener. I mean, I had the ball on Dirge and I won the initiative. I tried to, what I wanted to do is, actually, I didn't have the ball. I got seized initiative. So I dodged Dirge to get the ball. And then I was engaged, out of engagement of, Brisket. Then you dodged back Brisket to engage me. So I couldn't, flee away with the ball and go, score with Dirge. So I did put three influence on Dirge.
We were both in cover. Activation did nothing.
So I was, my goal was trying to do singled out on Brisket with one of the two first attack. So the third one, I would be able to, fly away and disengage and be able to drop the ball. So the ball would snap to another player. So she wouldn't get the ball back, but I wasn't able to do it. So instead, I've just moved back into cover. And then on his activation, he tried to steal the ball and he only managed to did it on his last influence because I was 5-0 in cover as well. So it was like both players trying, trying to each other, but couldn't do anything. I have yet to try silence, which I want to try because of this new character trait called tenacity, which where I can increase or decrease the cost of a character play. That looks really fun and interesting. But that's all fun and game. But the biggest change for Mortician is Scalpel, like Paul mentioned. Man, she's good. She's so good. There's another thing you didn't mention about the crazy play. Like you had in one of our game, Paul, you had snakeskin around an obstacle thinking you were safe from the ball from Scalpel because I couldn't reach her. But since you were within 6 inch, I push you around the obstacle, then push myself off closer to you, then did. I was able to do my spirit bomb as well. So I push you again 2 inches and then you were engaging me and I was able to tackle the ball back at from you.
Mm-hmm.
That was so good. But I'm starting to be better with clock, but the first couple of game or 6 influence activation took so much on my clock because, okay, now, do I move this one? There's so many possibilities. Like you don't know which model to move first and where to move them. So when you play Scalpel, it's better to take her like mid-turn activation. So you have a bit of time to build up your plan for her. But I mean, every time I've played her, it was are not to put 6 influence on her because she do so much. She still has a second win is pretty good when she go for goal scoring. But if not, most of the time I would do the spirit bomb for free for free as the heroic where you can use a character play for free. But if you're going for a gold run, second win plus the dodge from, the goal after you score means she can dodge back 8 inches pretty much to safety. So I really love her. And against Antoine, I played with Skull and he didn't do much. Well, actually, he didn't do much. He did score a goal. But after we talked about the game afterwards, as we always do, like, which should have we done and everything. And he said, like, I didn't realize it, but he said that Skull has a bigger influence than I thought because of all the nuisance. You can do the dodges, the follow-up move, free counter attack.
Yeah, you gotta be careful near him, right?
Yeah.
Within 6 inches?
It's not what he's doing. It's what is preventing your opponent from doing passively. So you have to think around him. And
yep.
I had goal run. I wanted to try, but in the end, because there were dodges, I couldn't because he would get there or I couldn't
makes an
try to engage
towards you right?
And bounce with a dodge after a charge. At least twice I tried to plan a goal run with Brisket and it just couldn't work because of Skulk. And that was the only model that was problematic. There were other models in the way, but only Skulk was preventing me from doing it.
But then, and there was a time as well I did the horrific order aura, and you were short one influence because of that to make the kick, because it makes you pay two influence to do the kick.
Yep, that too.
So it was better than I expected.
In short, Steve's a jerk.
So it seems. it's funny, not funny, but it's weird because it was before we got the media card. I started going back to the Mortician because I wanted to change from the Hunters, because I've been playing Hunters for almost
2 seasons.
Season 3 almost. All season 3, I played with Hunters with a bit of Blacksmith. Beginning of season 3, I was playing Mortician. Then I switched back. I switched to Hunters because they were crap and I was trying to make them work. Then they got buff and they got good with Terran and with the new release of the Scatter box and everything gave a fresh breath to them. And then I switched a bit back to the Blacksmith when they came out and went quickly back to the Hunters because Blacksmith were not my forte, I say. And like for around a month before we got the cards and everything, I switched back to Mortician. And well, now I feel dirty playing Mortician because they're so good.
But you didn't feel dirty in season one, right? So you'll get over it.
I didn't play in season one.
They're good, but they're not that well. It might be because I'm playing Butchers, but they were not that crazy.
Yeah, because you're playing another over-the-top guild, that's why.
Yeah, I don't know if Butchers are over-the-top anymore. They're definitely really good, but I don't know if they're over-the-top.
In both games, it was rough, but the clock had a bigger impact than the rest because I was ahead both time.
Yeah.
And you tried boat captain, so.
Yeah, I feel Obelisk was better against you, though. And the first game, I was trying more models, and I had Graves and Bonesaw. In retrospect, Bonesaw wasn't a good choice against Butcher.
Because I think I found
you just sneeze at him.
Scalpel game more frustrating, but I think it went better for you with Obelisk.
Yeah. Paul as well thought the Scalpel game were more frustrating.
But Scalpel was not that. Didn't have that much of an impact in our game.
Yeah, Scalpel manipulated a lot of things in the field, which I thought was annoying. You also forget to mention the time she moved Rage, who would walk, was just coming out of the casket, and you positioned him behind my goalpost.
Oh.
So he couldn't do anything?
Yeah.
So I had to walk around, and like I had no range.
That was funny. Because he came like 7 inches loaded with influence. Then he was ready to take out and charge Scalpel. And with the dodges, I was able like, I had influence on her. So she pushed his player. I don't remember who I was attacking. So I pushed that player. Then I pushed myself so I would be in range of Rage. And then I push him behind the goalpost. And then at the end of my activation, I did second wind. So I would be in straight line of the goalpost. So I was sure he wouldn't see me.
And then walking around the goalpost, I had no one within range to do anything with. So I couldn't even like...
I think that's at that point he called me a jerk, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. But it was just like the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah, that was pretty horrible.
I love you too, Paul.
It's like, oh, look, I don't get to play. Yay. Oh, I don't get to play still. Yay. Oh, I still don't get to play. That's awesome. It's gonna... What did that game finish? Was it like 12-2 or something? I don't remember. It was bad. Did I even get on the scoreboard? I think I got one kill.
Yeah, you did. You killed Graves?
Did I kill Scalpel at the end? Did I manage to get her?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think I managed to kill Scalpel. So at least there was that.
And you killed Graves as well.
Yeah. So I may have had 4. So it was 12-4. And I was clocked.
Yeah.
I lost on clocked. Yeah, it was 12. Yeah, it was fun. I love playing this game. Okay, now we should record my part. Now I'm in the right frame. No.
Now you remember. Before you didn't remember. It was blurry a bit. You blocked it from memory, and now you have resurging dreams and flashbacks and stuff like that, and now you're pumped.
Yeah, that's right. Reasons why, yeah.
I'm looking forward to try the Hunters as well in Season 4 to see how the change they did to them looks.
How it pans out.
Yeah. Skeeta being able to score like Shark should be fun.
Yeah, I think she'll be really cool. I'm sure she'll be frustrating to play against, but I think she'll be really cool.
So I need to get her out, but not against you, so you won't quit the game.
Oh, she won't be scalpel level frustrating. Come on.
We'll see about that.
Yeah. But no, I think she'll be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of the stuff. I'm really looking forward to my first game against Alchemists.
Yeah, me too.
With the burning conditions to do stuff, I think it's going to be awesome. I really like a lot of the things they did with Season 4.
Yeah, can't wait to play against them. Should be interesting. So, all in all, Season 4 looks promising.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say it looks very promising.
And I can't wait to try the other guilds I own, which are too many.
Well, you may be kind of an addict, Steve. It's okay.
How many guilds do you have, Paul?
Five, six, seven. I just want to point that I could switch from Union and go to the BS Mortician team or the BS Blacksmith team.
Yeah, because you have both.
Yeah. So there you go.
Maybe you should try Blacksmith next.
No, I got to get them painted first.
Well, it's going to take you 2 evenings.
No, well, the paint line up a six? No, it'd probably take me a week. Painting in the evenings. But I have other stuff I'm working on right now. I want to take a little break from Guild Ball. Well, painting models, I mean. I just finished painting all those Union models and all the Order models. So.
And you need
And Vet Sakana. So I need a little break from Guild Ball models.
A palette cleanser.
Yeah. And to be honest, looking at the Blacksmith models.
Yeah,
it's tough. Like there's a lot of flash and like muddy details, and things I didn't realize. Like I never took a good look at a lot of them, and the fact that they're it's totally not about Season 4.
totally
the fact
not.
That their armor looks like it's like all dented and whatever. I guess it's because the apprentice made their own armor or something. Is that maybe the reason their armors all look like crap? Nothing is smooth and
yeah,
like,
I know. The master's armor is... not even all the master. Everybody is like that.
Okay. Like, all the armors are weird and like...
Embossed. And yeah, strange. Exactly. Yeah. I'm just
They're
looking
really
at my mind.
They're stylized.
Model. Yeah.
So that's a little strange. But, hey, what can you do? I'm sure they'll look okay once painted.
For sure.
I'll just paint right over those mold lines like they're not even there. Like I always do. All right. Antoine, what are you final first impressions, Season 4? I don't think we heard from you.
I look forward to playing more. Right now, sadly, it's not a good time family-wise and free time-wise. But I would really want to attend some of our local events. Just to get to play, like, I don't really care about the competitive side of it, but just to be able to clock in 3 or 4 games in a day, get more experience with it, that would be fun.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Yeah, and I look forward to the Navigators to have a real change of playstyle. So, both things I'm looking forward to.
Trying something new in Season 4.
Yep.
Well, guys, I think that's a cast.
That's a wrap.
We've been running almost an hour and a half, so time to... Well, more like an hour and 20 minutes, but it's time to call it quits. So I will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure, with more Guild Ball trash talk.
Possibly.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter @geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, @prfilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Rolling Dice and Taking Names, a podcast by guys who have a passion for tabletop games and happen to have mics. They discuss all forms of tabletop gaming, from board games to miniatures to RPGs. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.